Welcome to episode 70 of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Beth Below. Thanks for joining me. Over the course of the next few episodes, you're going to hear an evolution in the format and content of these podcasts. You'll still hear interesting and informative conversations with a diverse group of entrepreneurs and leaders. But in addition, I'm occasionally going to share commentary on issues of importance to introverts, build on the information shared during the conversation, and ultimately, I hope, find a way to involve your voice and insights. There are so many possibilities, and I really appreciate you being along for the ride. Part 1. Initial Insight. Consider this. The questions you ask are more important than the things you could ever say. This piece of wisdom is from Tom Fries, founder of QBS Research, Inc. QBS stands for question-based selling, and it occurs to me that this is one approach to the sales process that introverts might find inspiring. When we're asking questions, we're accomplishing multiple things. We're putting the spotlight on someone else, we're gathering information about their needs, and we are creating a space that fulfills a fundamental human need in the other person, and that is to be seen and heard. So next time you have an opportunity to initiate or build on a client or customer relationship, consider not what you're going to say, but what you're going to ask. Part 2, shameless self-promotion. It's confession time. Self-promotion is an aspect of being an entrepreneur that has given me the most stress and anxiety. I've gotten better over time, but it's still an activity that I'm not sure I'll ever be great at. But listen to what I just said there. Self-promotion has given me stress and anxiety. How can it do that? Where else can stress and anxiety come from except from me? So 90% of this issue is my relationship to the activity, not the activity itself. And since this podcast episode is focused on selling, introvert style, I thought this was a good time to introduce this new part of the podcast. The truth is, it's not really about self-promotion. It's about you and offering information and resources that will be useful to you. In fact, if I don't tell you about them, I'm doing all of us a disservice. I'd go so far as to say it's irresponsible for me not to share these opportunities with you. And if you ever feel the same way that I did about self-promotion, I invite you to think about your own promotional efforts in the same way. So what do I want to share with you during this episode? Well, I'm pleased to announce that the first edition of the Introvert Entrepreneur Newsletter was sent to current subscribers on October 20th. We're proud of our first effort and look forward to making improvements with every new edition. At first, we're sending out the e-newsletter once a month, but after the first of the year, we plan to go to twice a month. And each newsletter will feature subscriber-only content to help you live your best life, introvert style. You can subscribe online at theintrovertentrepreneur.com/email-signup. And of course, dash is the symbol, not the word. So again, that's theintrovertentrepreneur.com/email-signup. Part 3, the conversation. As I've already mentioned, and you already know, implementing a sustainable sales process is often, not always, but often, the most stressful part of being an introvert entrepreneur. Most introverts I work with and speak to don't consider sales a natural strength. What they often don't realize is that many of their natural strengths are actually integral to an effective sales process. That's what we're going to explore with author and sales consultant John E. Doerr. As co-president of Rain Group, John Doerr draws upon his extensive career in business leadership, which has included senior executive management, business development and marketing, and product and service development. He's co-author of the Wall Street Journal bestseller, Rainmaking Conversations, Influence, Persuade, and Sell in Any Situation. His latest book is called Insight Selling, Surprising Research on What Sales Winners Do Differently. He also is author of Professional Services Marketing. In 2011, John was named the Top Sales Thought Leader by Top Sales Awards. Hi, John. Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm really looking forward to talking with you about introverts and selling today.
Well, thank you, Beth. I'm looking forward to see if I can help my fellow introverts out there sell better.
Awesome. Well, what's making you smile today?
Interesting question. Well, it's kind of a, if you pardon me a little bit, it's a little bit of a long answer. My partner in crime here at Rain Group, his young son is in the hospital, and the reason that's actually making him smile, he was relating a story today when I was talking to him about it, where his son was asking for water, and for long, complicated reasons, they didn't want to give it to him. He's only 2 years old.
Oh.
And so when they couldn't give him water, there was a pause, and his son said, well, can I have Pedialyte instead? So you got to give the credit. 2 years old, and he's already negotiating. So I was very impressed with that, and that made me smile today.
He shows lots of promise for the future.
Right.
And just
right.
Even knowing Pedialyte, you know.
Exactly.
He's a smarty pants, it sounds like. I hope his hospital stay is uneventful in terms of being able to be in and out of there and back to playing as he should be for a 2-year-old.
Yeah, he loves playing basketball, so that's where he wants to be again. So,
Well, we're going to be focusing our conversation today on your latest book, which is called Insight Selling. Would you tell us just a little bit about like where you feel like you fall on that introvert-extrovert spectrum and maybe how you came to know that you were an introvert?
Well, it's interesting about that because years ago I went to a 7-day leadership course, and part of it was you started with Myers-Briggs, and for those of you who aren't familiar, it's based on Jungian psychology, and it looks at the way you approach the world, basically. And one of the things that they measure is whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, and I come clearly on the introvert scale. So that's sort of the first time it was ever given me that identifier from it. And I just remember at the end of the program, the facilitator said, you know, I know you came off as an introvert, but I think you're an extrovert masquerading as an introvert. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, we always think of introverts as shy and so on and so forth. And he said, you don't seem to be that way. And I said, well, you should know that introverts aren't shy. That's not the point. We just preferred we get our energy from being in a thinking mode. So that's when I first worked with it. And then we do a lot of work with buyer personas, and we look at who can sell well and who do you sell to. And so it's sort of become a little bit of a passion of mine to take the stigma from all those people say you have to be that rah-rah extrovert to be able to sell well. And I said, that's not true. I sell pretty well, and I'm an introvert. So that's where it all started.
Well, yeah, as I was reading Insight Selling, I got the sense that there was a little bit of that introvert empathy, introvert perspective. So can you tell us what makes insight selling different from selling as we traditionally think of it?
Well, I think it's not so much that it's different from traditional selling. It's maybe taking it the next step forward. So in complex selling, and that's what we study, anything that requires multiple conversations and multiple buyers involved, and for many entrepreneurs selling scientific or something that they invented, that's probably where they fall into it. It's a complex sale. We often think about, well, it's about building relationships, and there's a whole thing around relationship selling. And then from that there came solution selling, which is I have to figure out where the pain is and then provide the answers that will help them get there. And then there's a new concept out there called challenger sale, which is about really turning your prospect's world upside down to say, look, this is really what you should be looking at. What we found in our research was that all of those are right to a degree, but individually they don't tell the full story. And so what we broke it down to was connect, convince, and collaborate. So the connecting is about the relationship part. The convincing is about the solution, making sure I have a solution that the buyer thinks is something that they want. But the last piece, which is the collaborate, which is I really think the place where it may be different but takes it to the next level, is about, yes, I have to provide new ideas to someone and I have to maybe turn their world upside down. But if I don't collaborate and I haven't connected and convinced them at this point, that new insight doesn't take hold because I haven't created fallow ground for it to grow in. So that's really what it's all about. That's why I would consider it very different from what most people would be looking at when they think about selling.
Well, you mentioned in the introduction to the book that there are different key factors that set apart winners in selling that are rarely discussed in the selling literature, especially in that context of what you just shared with us, what have you found to be the most important differentiators between someone who makes the sale and someone who does not?
So when we did the research, we went into it from the perspective of not the sellers, because a lot of research is done, you know, take a look at the sellers and see what they do. But we wanted to see what the buyers perceive, because a lot of the research we saw, when you ask the sellers and the buyers what just happened, they have two different stories. So we wanted to know what the buyers perceive. And so we not only asked them some things about what they saw as attributes or things that took place from people they bought, we said, think about the last purchase that you might have made in a complex sale in which you had to pick between two very good providers. And then we said, we gave them 42 potential things that people might do in the sale. And we said, how often do you remember the winner doing it? And then how often do you remember the second place finisher doing it? And the biggest thing that we saw that the winners did differentiating themselves from the second place finishers was they did provide those new insights and ideas. Buyers are more sophisticated today. They have access to so much information that they never had before because of the internet. And so used to be, I relied on the seller to tell me about their products and services because I couldn't find all that information. Well, by the time you come in to see me, I probably know everything you're doing. But I want to know the difference. I want to know what you can do to give me new thinking. And so the seller has become part of the value equation. And that's where the inside sellers come in. They're part of the value that somebody is buying. And that's part of what differentiates them. And the second biggest thing that we saw is they collaborated in the process. So they're not doing it to the buyer. They're doing something with the buyer to come up with something that will make the buyer's world better, however they think of their world, whether it's business or personal or a combination of both. Those are the two most important things that insight sellers do.
You're making me think about sometimes how I approach learning a new subject and I'm going to take a class. So it's again, mm-hmm. you know, sort of the novice looking to the expert, you know, the mm-hmm. perceived novice, perceived expert. And maybe it's my introvert tendencies, but I like to, or it's my good student tendencies, but I like to be able to like have so much information that I walk into the classroom and I feel like I should be able to teach this class mm-hmm. even before I'm in the class. And,
right.
and I can find that with the selling too. I hadn't ever thought about it till you said that, but I will do this extensive research. And, you know, I'm talking about, I suppose, simple transactions, but, you know, before I go into Lowe's to buy a new washing machine, I know exactly which one I want and why, because I've done all this extensive research. And so when a salesperson comes up to me, it's a different conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can take it even to that realm. I hadn't thought about it on the dishwasher side or any of those things. But yes, people can look and they can see a million comparisons. They don't have to buy the special reports and everything. Get a lot of that online. So when they go, just think about that. If when you were buying, if the person who sold you said, well, tell me about your kitchen and tell me about how you like to work within the kitchen and what's the layout of everything. And so they can now provide their insight that was not online, which said, well, based on what I know and what I've heard you say, that everybody who has a kitchen like yours likes this dishwasher because. And suddenly you would go, wow, I hadn't even seen that before. And that's what insight selling does. It listens to what's there, but it's providing that something new and different that you can't find online.
Yes, because that's the big question. I'll walk in. I say, okay, it looks fabulous, but will it work in my space?
Exactly.
Will it work in my life? And I think that's the value that a really good salesperson can provide, is that ability to go beyond the features and benefits and connect to the personal.
Right, exactly. And I think that you know, among the other factors, though, that made the difference that the winners did more often were things like listened to me and understood my needs. Now, they weren't the top three, but it was 4 and 5. And so that, which is what is traditional, more consultative selling has been over the last few years, that's still the same. You still have to connect with them on what they need, but it's just not enough.
Well, you know, introverts, as I've learned over the years that I've been working with them, are definitely drawn to entrepreneurship, but they're not always enamored of that sales process.
Mm-hmm.
They want to focus on providing their service or product and not selling it. But of course, we know that you can't have one without the other. But that doesn't alleviate the stress that sometimes comes up around prospecting or making an initial contact or self-promotion or negotiating or follow-up. How can the insight selling model that you've described here be useful to the sales adverse introvert?
I think part of it is, and I work with many entrepreneurs as well in our work, and part of it is they have to get away from the perception of the perfect seller as the person who is out there shaking hands and the idea of the always happy, jovial, can make friends with anybody kind of thing. So that's the first thing that they can do. What insight selling, the other thing that I know from introverts, they tend to be also insightful by nature. They tend to be very introspective. They listen well. They can analyze what they hear and come out with the solutions. So if they realize, first of all, that selling isn't just out there being pushy and forcing people to buy, and if they realize that if they play to that strength of connecting the dots, for so to speak, for somebody and providing the solution based on their knowledge and based on their insightful knowledge as it connects, I think that can really help for them. Now, one of the things I will say that insight selling can't do for them, prospecting and reaching out to new people is a challenge. And for even some extroverts, it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the concept can help them is a lot of times, so especially entrepreneurs, maybe you invented something, maybe you started something new, your ability to put things down on paper and to teach and present, it is a way of attracting buyers to come to you. So rather than having to push all the time, you can do a pull strategy, which is start writing, start talking, start presenting. And as you and I both know, being introverts, that some of the best actors and some of the best public speakers are actually introverts.
Exactly.
That they use the stage as a way to get across what is important to them. And there's an inner ambition that says, I will make the leap for this moment to go out and meet new people and talk. And because I believe in my product, I believe in my company, I believe in what I have to offer. Now, I tell introverts that at the end of the day, when you've given that speech and everybody says, let's go out and network, it's okay to say, no, I have to go back to my room for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because you used up a lot of your energy because you use it up with people and that presentation or that delivery or whatever that is. I think that that is just sort of what's going to happen. But the other thing is don't use your label as an introvert as an excuse not to do some of these other things, because we both know that it's possible to go beyond the traditional mold of what an introvert is doing and how they reach out to the world.
Exactly. If nothing else challenges us to put away the introvert card, it's
mm-hmm.
sales.
right.
It's one of those places that kind of requires an expansion of our capacity, or our perceived capacity, I guess I should say, because I think we all have it. It's simply, are you using the term introvert as a limiting belief as opposed to something that can be leveraged?
Right. And one of the things that when we work with people in sales, we do look at certain things about what their belief system is. And the term called self-limiting beliefs, we all have heard those. It's scripts that run around in our head that say, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do that. Or I'm an introvert and therefore I can't do that. And so what you do is you say, well, by keeping on saying that to myself, what happens? Well, what happens is I make excuses and I don't do the things I need to do. And my company that I love and I'm really excited about because I'm, and as an entrepreneur, I want to grow this thing, I'm limiting its growth. So if they can rethink that message in their head to, if I can for brief moments connect and go out there because I can grow my company, then they'll feel really great about it.
I appreciate the invitation to do it in brief moments, because I think we can also think, I have to be on and that way all the time.
Right.
And instead, you're sharing with us that it's something that you can tap into as you need to, but you don't have to necessarily consider yourself that way 24/7.
Right. There are some people, and those are the people on the other side of the fence called extroverts, who just love being out there all the time. But you know what? They have a challenge, too, in selling. Because if the buyer wants us to listen and understand, sometimes the extroverts have a challenge if they don't listen enough.
Mm-hmm.
They do too much of the talking, and at the end of the day, they never make that connection to the individual's true needs and true problems, and they don't provide insight in the right way. So they think they're providing insight, but actually they're just doing a brain dump on them. Whereas an introvert will figure out how to make that connection better. And again, that's one of the strengths that you can use to provide the better insight. So it's not just the number, it's the quality of the insights as well. And introverts, I think, can do that well.
And I'm going to turn something on its head that we talked about just a few minutes ago about our ability to do research and, you know, turn to technology and online resources as part of the sales process. And in that case, we were talking about it, you know, from the perspective of the buyer doing that kind of research. But I've also found that introvert professionals can rely heavily on social media and email and other at arm's length technology tools to do the heavy lifting for them as salespeople.
Right.
You know, it's almost like, please, please, please answer me. Don't make me pick up the phone. you know, please respond to my email. So what role do you think technology can play in insight selling, and how can we leverage it so that we're making sure that it's a combination of in real life and in real time interactions?
Well, we use social media quite a bit, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and our own website. And one of the ways it fits very nicely into insight selling is, again, to have that pull strategy. So we extensively have worked on our search engine optimization within our on our website to identify the keywords that we want, and in a, I would say, a relatively short time, but very intensive thought leadership, we have been able to draw a lot of people to us. So all this is a combination of things. It's not one thing, but we do have a blog. We do publish white papers. We do do webinars. We do post podcasts and post video clips on our site and draw people into it. They see what we have to offer, and they reach out to us. And as we know, an introvert doesn't mind it too much if somebody reaches out to us. It's a lot better if we have to reach out to them. So that's how it can incorporate itself. Now, I will give a caveat to all the introverts out there that don't rely only on the social, technological, non-person-to-person connection. Pick up the phone once in a while. There is still a need for some of the people that you're selling to have a person. But fortunately for introverts, it's not as required as much as it used to be. I'm amazed at how many sales I have made over the years without ever seeing the person, without ever even having a request to see them. And 15 years ago, you always had to do a face-to-face. And we're selling big projects where we never even see anybody. So, yes, the social media and the technology can certainly help with providing the insight out there and to make sure that you get it to more people, but don't rely only on that.
What final advice would you have for introvert entrepreneurs who want to increase their comfort with sales? I think especially looking back at what you just answered about the picking up the phone and getting comfortable with that person to person when you're in a sales process.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that since it's not our natural tendency to want to do that, that they have to put a plan together that says, I will do this, this, and this, and put it on their calendar and do it on a daily basis, because all things being equal, they will fall back to the more solitary type of actions. And if they put the plan in place, then they can say, okay, this is what I have to do, this is what I have to do. So now I got the plan, I know what I have to do, I'm going to make this many outreaches, I'm going to prepare this white paper this week, I'm going to go to that networking event once a month, because I don't want to go to too many of them because I don't like networking that much. But they have that plan. The second thing is then give themselves a little credit. Don't beat yourself up on, I don't like to do this or anything. Embrace it at the moment and then give yourself permission to give yourself a little reward. You know what? I'm going to come back after the networking event and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to half an hour, I'm going to read something I've been meaning to read, or watch a television show, or eat an ice cream sundae, whatever it is. But it's basic, reward yourself like any good sales organization would do. When you've gone to that plan, give yourself a little credit, give yourself a little pat on the back, and then tomorrow you got to start again. But I would strongly advise the first step is to develop a plan for how you're going to do it. that'll keep you on the straight and narrow for a while.
And I'd love to add something to that that has worked for me, in addition to that plan, is to have an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone else that you really trust, that you've formed a relationship with, and that, you know, may or may not share some of the, you know, anxiety that might come around that kind of sales process, but someone with whom you can say, okay, today I'm going to call John and I'm just going to introduce myself and ask if, you know, we can have coffee. And then I'm able to check back with her or him, you know, and say, yes, I did it. Or, you know, I didn't do it. And we can talk about like what got in the way. So not quite, you know, bordering on coaching. Of course, coaches is another, you know, great thing to have right. In this kind of situation. But, you know, an accountability partner is also a really powerful tool to helping somebody follow through and support them in that process.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was just thinking, well, I actually do that myself. I have our director of operations. I said, look, you're going to be my, I said coach, but you really, it's the accountability partner. I said, I sometimes can get so wrapped up in the other things I do, I forget to follow my plan as I want to. And so he keeps me there, and he's the one who said, did you make those calls? Did you do that? Even though I want to punch him, I don't. And it does help, because we all need that. I mean, why do people have personal trainers? Why do they have any kind of coaches or assistants or whatever you want to call it? It is about, a lot of it's about that accountability, and that's a key part of being successful and just moving towards your goal every day.
Absolutely. Well, I've so appreciated the tips and the insight, if I can say, the insights that you've shared here. I really highly recommend Insight Selling for any introvert who's listening to this, whether you're comfortable with sales or not, because it sounds like it's not just about, oh, I have a discomfort, but it's actually about, here's a framework that we have found that works for the people who are successful in this.
Well, I'm glad you recommend it, because I think it is. I actually, the best compliment I got about the book was that it was a fun read. And I'm thinking, a business book that's a fun read? Well, actually, that was our intent, because we want something that somebody will not just put on the shelf but go through. So I'm glad you said that. Thank you very much, Beth.
Oh, you're welcome. I want to ask one final question that I ask of all my guests. It has nothing to do with selling.
Fire away.
Yeah. So if you were granted a 3-week vacation on Introvert Island and you could only take 3 books with you, what would you take with you and why?
Wow, Introvert Island. Oh, okay. Well, first one I would take would be Team of Rivals, Doris Kearns Goodwin. I am a history buff. I love that era of American history, because I think it is just fundamental to understanding where we are today. Without understanding that period around the Civil War, you really can't understand the United States. And I also love Lincoln and that whole story about how he brought different people together and brought on enemies to his cabinet. So that's one. The second one would, I can't believe I'm going to say this given the title, 100 Years of Solitude.
Yay.
By Gabriel Garcia Marquez. I hadn't thought about that from the introvert standpoint, but it's just, I love books like that. That are sort of wacky and get you thinking in many different ways. I think I've read that book like 5 times, and I'd bring it again. And the last thing is you said a 3-week vacation on on an island. I would bring any trashy mystery courtroom drama book. It doesn't matter. The trashier, the better, as long as it has, you know, villains and heroes and some drama and tension. I love to read those things on vacation. It makes vacation feel so much better. So it doesn't matter who it is.
right. Yeah, John Grisham comes to mind immediately.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I read a lot of him.
Read.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, excellent. Well, what's the best way for people to connect with you and learn more about you and your book and your work?
Well, you can go to our website, which is raingroup.com. So that's very easy, R-A-I-N, group.com. If they want to reach out to me directly, and I would love to, I answer my emails, and I love to correspond with people, it's jdoerr, D-O-E-R-R, at raingroup.com. And if they really want to call, 508-626-9991.
Awesome. Well, thank you. It's been a great pleasure. And I don't think I've smiled so much in talking about sales before. So this is quite a breakthrough.
Well, I've accomplished what I wanted. See, I wanted to make all the introverts out there say selling can be fun.
It can be fun. So thank you very much, John.
Thank you, Beth. I enjoyed it immensely.
Part 4, recap and resources. So are you convinced that sales can be fun? Even if you're not going to go so far as to say it's fun, I hope that you now have a new perspective on the process and feel encouraged about your introvert nature being a sales strength. Consider what John told us. He said, if introverts play to that strength of connecting the dots for somebody and providing the solution based on their knowledge and based on their insightful knowledge as it connects, I think that can be really helpful for them. That leads me to my invitation for you. What if you looked at sales as a process of connecting the dots for someone? And in that process, you're connecting them to you and your services. Or perhaps you're connecting their needs with the exact resource that can help them the most. Try it out. And if you do, I'd love to hear back from you about your experience. If you want to learn more, here are some resources to support your journey. Of course, John's book, co-authored with Mike Schultz, Insight Selling. I also recommend Self-Promotion for Introverts by Nancy Enkowitz. And finally, future editions of the Introvert Entrepreneur e-newsletter will include more tips and resources to help you as you develop as an entrepreneur, leader, and all-around happy introvert. I have one final request for you. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes and sharing it with your colleagues. It's one of the best ways to spread the word and build our introvert community. Thanks for joining me and listening to this episode of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Until we meet again, remember, success is an inside job.